You've heard the coach's insights leading up to tonight's game of the week. We brought you predictions and updates of all our area teams. You've seen or heard the hits and huge plays of tonight's biggest game. Well, football fans, we're just getting started. It's time now for the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show with Jake and Boz on the MSC Sports Radio Network. The Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Helena Agra Enterprises, JBN Telephone Company, by McDonald's in Hiawatha and Seneca, Bruna Implement Company, Blue Valley Technology, by Honeyman Ford, Sunflower Community Credit Union, by Commercial Tire Solutions, by Giant Communications, MCON, by the Denison State Bank, BNP Propane, by American Family Insurance, Brad Noller Agent, by Lukert Chiropractic, and by The Elevator in Valley Falls.
Let's get it, man.
Let's go.
All right, it's Friday night, which means only one thing at this point in November. It is sectional playoff football, and it's time here on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show to break it down for you on a chilly, crisp November evening with Jake and Boz. I'm Jake. That's Boz.
Hey, hey.
Yep, say hey to everybody.
Gotcha.
And, you know, what a night, my friend.
Oof.
We had some amazing matchups to begin the night. Coming into it, there was plenty that we knew would be impressive.
Yeah.
And we decided to take the show on the road here this evening, and we're sitting here right now at Dave Henry Field at Jackson Heights High School, and my gosh, we took in a game, my friend, that I don't know many people, whether you wear green and gold or you wear black and red, will forget for quite some time.
I agree 100%. I think that is a game that will be talked about for a long time, and for two different reasons. Jackson Heights is going to remember that. It's going to sting. It's going to hurt for a long time. If you're Rossville, you will talk about this 10 years from now, the comeback. That's what people are going to remember, and it was absolutely fantastic comeback by Rossville.
So it's a game where we'll break it down because it was our game of the week. We had a gift card to give away, and we'll talk about that during the show as well. But that was the only big-time game here for our area teams. We have a lot to get to. Boz, what kind of scores do we have to give to the folks?
All right, a little unusual. We were not where we usually are. We're kind of scrambling here, getting stuff going, so I'm going to have to roll through some of these scores a little different than normal. But in Class 3A, Perry LeCompton was facing off against Topeka Hayden. Topeka Hayden gets that win tonight and ends Perry's season. Hayden defeated them 56-6. In Class 2A, this was an absolute barn burner down the stretch. Nemaha Central advances to sub-state with a win over Osage City, 33-27. We'll dig into some of these games and how they all played out, because that one was a close one. But Nemaha Central advances 33-27 over Osage City. In Class 1A, game we were just at, Jackson Heights had the lead, thought maybe the game was in the bank. Rossville had other ideas. They come back and defeat Jackson Heights 38-34. So Rossville, they advance to sub-state, and they will face off against Centralia, who got a big win against Pitt Colgan on the road. They defeated Colgan 46-14.
Just took it to them.
Just absolutely took it to them. That was one that we talked a lot about last week. On the road at Colgan, never an easy thing to get a win when you're on the road down there, but they did it, and they did it in big-time fashion. 46-14, Centralia defeats Pitt Colgan. Valley Heights, talked about that a little bit last week.
Come on, the Mustangs.
We have not given them enough love this season, a team that has just methodically won games.
Yep.
They defeated Medicine Lodge tonight 37-22, so they advance to sub-state as well. Eight-man Division One, another team we probably haven't talked enough about, Clifton Clyde.
Yep.
They got a huge win tonight. They defeated Madison, shut them out.
Yeah.
46-0. So So Clifton Clyde advances to sub-state as well. Now eight-man at Division II. Another barn burner of a game, back and forth in the fourth quarter. Frankfort.
Yeah.
The Fighting Wes Anderson.
There we go.
My team from a year ago. They defeat Burlingame 46-38. Burlingame undefeated coming into this game at 10-0, but Frankfort eliminates them from the playoffs. Axtell, they get the win 54-8. Unusual thing happened early in this game.
A team
scored a touchdown first.
What?
Osborne was up 8-0.
Which at that point, when that message came through, Boz and I again in the stands, shivering to the bone here at Dave Henry Field in Jackson County, and we get that text, and it was kind of like was that a mistake?
It had to have been a typo.
Right. That meant Axtell 8-0.
Yeah.
No,
it wasn't. I think Osborne just poked the bear a little bit, and Axtell reels off 54 in a row to finish that game, I believe, at halftime.
I would assume so.
I'll
tell you this much. I know that we'll be having an Axtell caller here in just a little bit.
Okay.
I
don't know if that was halftime, but every other game they've had has been halftime, so I'm going to say it was halftime until we hear otherwise. So Axtell, they advance 54-8 win over Osborne. That's our scores for tonight.
Those are our scores. Those are the matchups. Again, when we looked at what was coming into this week, it was week 11 in the playoffs. This is big time action, and it's time for teams to really, move on in the postseason, or your season comes to an end. And we'll give them the phone number real quick. Kurt Stilla back at the studios at 785-547-3461, 785-547-3461 is the phone number on the Giant Communications hotline. Boz, we're talking about gobbling up the gigs right now with Giant Communications. It's turkey season.
A couple weeks of Thanksgiving.
We got Thanksgiving coming up. People about to feast as Boz about ripped his head off with the table.
I got to fix that.
Yeah, we're a little different.
A little different.
Giant Communications, as we're getting close to Thanksgiving, make sure that you check out giantcomm.net because they've got 50 bucks a month, gets you a gigabit of symmetrical internet. That's upload and download if you don't know what that symmetrical means. An opportunity for you to really save big with Giant Communications right now. Again, giantcomm.net is our hotline. Again, 785-547-3461. Ray and Kurt and MJ still back up at the studio. Would love to chat with you, and we'll get you on the line with us here tonight as well. Talk about the game that you were at here this evening. But before we do that, we're going to dive into our game of the week here this week. Boz and I go around the area, pick a game that we think is going to be an amazing game to be at. I mean, they're all great games at this point, right?
Got a caller from Axtell.
And so we've got plenty of opportunities to talk about many different places, go to different places. But the big one that we picked tonight, Boz, was coming here to Jackson County because it was 10-0 Jackson Heights, trying to go to sub-state for the first time since 2019. Perfect season for them to this point. But a Rossville Bulldog team coming in at 7-3. They won seven straight coming into this game after a really tough non-district schedule. And this was a game that if you were ready to completely just write off one team or the other, man, this one you had to buckle your seatbelt, especially in the fourth quarter.
This was a game. How much time we got here to talk about this? Because this was a heck of a high school ball game. And we'll kind of break it down just a little bit. Start to finish. The ball game starts out. Rossville fumbles the ball on their first play from scrimmage. Jackson Heights recovers. Titus Eisenbarth two plays later, touchdown. Things are rolling for Heights. Rossville comes right back, marches down the field. Andre Johnson, a absolute stud for Rossville. He scored tied 7-7. Jackson Heights get a field goal at the end of the first quarter. They're up 10-7. Rossville fumbles on Jackson Heights' 19-yard line. They were marching down the field. Then Jackson Heights gets a score. They're up 17-7. They scored again. They're up 24-7. Things are rolling for Jackson Heights. It was 24-14 at halftime. That's where things were kind of nip and tuck. Neither team did much, but Jackson Heights controlled.
31-14 at halftime.
31-14 at half?
Yeah.
No, 24-14 at half.
What?
Yeah, come on. Wade's sitting in the background. He knows. He's got the score. 24-14
at
half.
Sorry to jump into your little show.
Yeah, yeah. What are you talking about? This is my recap. You can't play in this party. So 24-14 at half. And, again, Jackson Heights, I feel like the confidence level was high. They did a lot of good things
but
in the first half.
Before you go to that part, though, Rossville scored with 14 seconds to go in the half.
16, yep.
16 seconds to go in the half, right?
Yep.
Before we move on, I want to just ask you, because we talked about Uncle Mo last week. When Jackson Heights is really, honestly, we could probably use the word dominating at that point,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Up 24-7 at that point in time.
Yep.
Rossville goes right down the field there right before half and scores with 16 seconds to go in the half.
Yeah.
Does Uncle Mo play a factor right there?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think it was obviously a big touchdown to the point where
sure.
they closed the gap before halftime.
Yeah.
But I don't think with another half to play, I don't know that that was a huge momentum booster for Rossville. Jackson Heights gets the kickoff to start the second half. Couldn't do anything. They had to punt. But Jackson Heights defense steps up. They shut down Rossville, turnover on downs. And then Jackson Heights, they put together an incredibly impressive drive.
Yeah.
They took up a massive amount of time off the clock in the third quarter. They scored with roughly 39 seconds to go. So at that point, they're up 31. I think it was 31-21. Looking at my notes here. Yeah, that was 31-21. And then Jackson Heights, late in the game, scored another touchdown. They go up 38-21.
6 minutes plus to
roughly
go.
Roughly five-something left
yeah.
in the game.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, Jackson Heights felt like this game's in hand.
Yes.
And I felt it, too. I think a lot of people were like, okay, we're pulling away here.
Yeah.
Rossville scores quickly. 4:34 left in the game. Onside kick. They recover. They score again. Rossville onside kicks again. Two onside kick recoveries for Rossville. Capitalize on both those. And you could just – that's when Uncle Mo got on the back of Rossville.
And didn't let go.
And did not.
I
was sitting beside a fan in the stands, and he said, boy, Uncle Mo is real. And we've had a lot of conversations about this.
Yeah, some people don't believe in it.
No. Momentum's not a thing.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I am an absolute firm believer. Rossville, after they got that first onside kick, they're still down 38-21 at that point, but they just kept going.
Three, four plays, they punch it in. The time that was coming off the clock was so minuscule after those onside kicks.
Well, yeah, it was 2 minutes and 30-some seconds.
Yes.
They scored three touchdowns. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Insanity that commenced. Sorry, go ahead and wrap it up.
Well, that's kind of how it ended. Jackson Heights had an opportunity about 3 minutes to go, turnover on downs, couldn't get anything going. Rossville basically runs out the clock. That's it. I mean, it was over at that point. When they took the lead, 42-38. It just, that was it. I mean, the onside kick, one of them, was a little questionable. It was on the sideline. Looked like the Rossville player recovered it as he was kind of diving for it. And
sure.
on the line, there was some discussion. But it was a fantastic play for Rossville. They did what they needed to do to win that game.
And special teams, you know, I had many conversations this week with different fans from Rossville, from Jackson Heights, just from the area. And the conversation was, what's the big X factor, do you think? And I said special teams, but I said it as the kicker, meaning a field goal or an extra point. I couldn't have imagined a kicker with onside kicks, because what you saw from Rossville, those were impressive onside kicks. For a high school level in Class 1A, Boz, you don't see that, nor do you really expect to see a recovery by the kicking team, not just once, but twice in key moments of the game.
Yeah, usually you might get an onside kick once in a while.
Yeah.
The odds of getting those are not very high. To do it two times in a row,
yeah,
back-to-back, it just doesn't happen that often.
And I think that there's something to definitely talk about with, early in that third quarter, you and I were sitting in the stands, and you said, oh, man, Heights just had to burn two timeouts there. Then they had to burn their third in the third frame.
Yeah.
And do you think, again, this is just the speculation side of my brain, but, you know, having an opportunity maybe to see one onside kick, okay, call a timeout, would that help hurt, do you think?
I don't know. I think scoring that touchdown to put them up 38-21, it was a crucial drive. They needed that touchdown. So taking the timeouts, making sure you got the right plays
yes.
in was important.
Right.
Now, obviously, from a coaching perspective, you're going to look back late in the fourth quarter after the onside kicks, man, I wish we had those timeouts, but you can't coach the game and run the game expecting something to happen that
it
never does in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Right. That was a crazy game. Here's the thing. I mean, we kind of thought the way the game was going, Jackson Heights was in control. But, boy, you got to give your hats off to Rossville. A lot of times you see a team like that late in the game. Things haven't been going their way. and they might just kind of throw in the towel. And they didn't, man. Once they scored and cut the lead, then they get the onside kick, and man, they just made plays. They made big plays down the stretch.
We got to go to our first caller, but we'll recap a little bit more. But Rossville, amazing comeback tonight at Jackson Heights to knock off the Cobras and end a perfect season for Jackson Heights. We're going to go to the phone line now, the Giant Communications hotline, as we've got an Axel caller, Boz.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the Eagles.
All right,
man.
Let's go.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, who we got tonight? Is this James?
This is James speaking.
All right, James. Well, thanks for calling into the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show, and thanks for hanging on hold with us for a few minutes. Big-time game tonight for the Eagles, and a long travel for you guys as well. Tell me about the game.
Yeah, no, the boys, yeah, they played well tonight. They think they got, you know, punched in the face a little bit that first drive, and then they answered the call and rattled off, what you said, 54 in a row. And they played well. Yeah, they played well. Yeah.
I was going to say, what do you mean they played well? They gave up a touchdown tonight early in the game.
I know. That'll be addressed, I think, in practice this week.
Absolutely.
They'll clean that stuff up.
And I'm gonna give a quick little shout out here to James. James, you do the PA over there at Axtell.
Hey.
This is the gentleman, ladies and gentlemen, that gave us that Axtell screech. James, I'm sorry I don't have access to it here on the road, or else I'd be playing it for you. But
no, that's all right. Yeah, I figured if you guys are mobile, you wouldn't have access to that this week, but that's okay. I think your listeners will appreciate that.
Let's go ahead and, you know, we talked about the games, the wins and stuff already. Boz has given us our scores, but it's a rematch next week now for the Eagles, for them to try and go back to state once again, keep the winning streak alive. It's a familiar foe next week against Frankfort. Well, what are the initial feelings from you?
Yeah, no, I actually, to tell you the truth, I watched the Axel game from the comforts of my own couch. And I, as soon as that game was kind of in wrapped up, I actually went to the Frankfort game, got a lot of good friends and family over there. So, I actually watched the Frankfort game and boy, they played so well. That was one heck of an 8-man football game. I mean, that was one of the better 8-man football games I've watched in several years. And, you know, like I said, I do call the games for Axel and got one of the best seats in the house. For those games, but this was something different. You know, it was, you know, nip and tuck the whole way. Person with the ball, you know, the team with the ball last was going to end up winning that game. And Frankfort made some big plays. And, you know, obviously that Wes Anderson, he is an absolute stud at the quarterback position. And those boys, you know, played so well. And it was a great atmosphere. Like I said, just a great game, great 8-man game. And it was great to see, you know, the TVL, the Twin Valley League, you know, represent, you know, actually Twin Valley League going 5-for-5 today, with, Axtell winning, Centralia over Colgan. I think for, Clifton Clyde came out victorious, and obviously Frankfort.
Yep.
And then Valley Heights. Just a great day for the Twin Valley League and that game, next week, it'll be at Axel. It'll be at the Axel Sporting Complex. I'd love for you guys to come and hang out with us there in the Eagles Nest and catch a game there at the Axel Sporting Complex. So we like to have fun there, and I'd love to have you guys out.
Well, you know that it's definitely going to be on our list, James, as one of our games of the weekend. We will definitely reach out if it does make it as the place for us to go. Well, I appreciate you listening as always, James. And as James has mentioned, Axtell hosting Frankfort next week in the Sump State Championship game. Great day for the TVL, like you just said, James. Thanks again for listening and calling in tonight.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. You guys do such a great job. You bring joy to everybody listening, and you guys do an excellent job. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. All right, that's James from Axel giving us a shout, talking about the Eagles, Boz. And once again, you know, the question was, you know, long travel, can they keep it going? And you know, slight little hiccup, I guess you could say, maybe a little tiny little speed bump at the beginning, but man, they got that gas going pedal to the metal.
It was a very little speed bump. I was kind of razzing them a little bit because Axel, they're just so good. They're so good. We talk about it every week, and you know, I imagine when Osborne scored, they probably didn't I imagine the boys didn't even think anything. Like, okay, let's go. And they did. I mean, they reeled off 54 points in a row.
Yeah.
And dang, we should ask him if it was over at halftime. Maybe
I guess I'll check that during our break.
Okay.
Again, we're 99% confident. Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it flipped like a script or flipped the script really quickly when it was 8-0 now, then 38-8 in that matchup. But he referenced that Frankfurt game, caller or listeners. We want you to call and tell us about that Frankfurt game at even more depth than what James just did right there. He said it was a great matchup. Berlin game is no joke.
Yeah.
And Frankfurt with a big time win, fighting Wes Anderson.
Yeah,
next
buddy.
Week, it's going to be an amazing opportunity. But that actual winning streak now, Boz, gets to 50 tonight with that win. The Eagles flying high right now. Once again, the phone number, Boz, you want to give us that phone number once again?
You betcha, 785-547-3461.
Hey, 785-547-3461 is the Giant Communications hotline. We got to get to a break. When we come back, we'll break down more of Week 11 sectional round playoff football here on the MSC Sports Radio Network. You're hanging out with Jake and Buzz here on a Friday. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We're back after this.
Jason Ronenbaum, your newest commercial, personal, or agricultural lender with Community National Bank.
Hi, I'm Jason Ronenbaum with Community National Bank. With 6 years of banking experience and being in Northeast Kansas for most of my life, I'm dedicated to serving our community's financial needs. Whether you're looking for personal, agricultural, and commercial banking solutions, I'm here to help. Let's achieve your financial goals today. Welcome home to Community National Bank.
You feel right at home, Community National Bank.
Member FDIC, Eagle Housing Lender.
Helena Agri Enterprises in Centralia, Seneca, Bern, and Home City are driven by the success of our customers. Founded in 1957, we've grown to be one of the nation's foremost agricultural and specialty formulators. Our crop protection products, fertilizer, and application services are just a few of the things we do to help our customers succeed. Put our local people to work for you. Call or see us at Helena Agri Enterprises in Seneca, Centralia, Bern, and Home City.
On your way to the game or on the ride home from the game, stop by McDonald's in Seneca or Hiawatha for a meal or just for a snack. There's a variety of delicious items to choose from on their menu, and you can get them to go. Why cook before or after the game? Stop in for your favorite drink or ice cream treat like a McFlurry or an ice cream cone. Or one of your favorites sandwich like a Big Mac or a Quarter Pounder. Whether you're headed to or from the game, stop by McDonald's in Hiawatha or Seneca.
Hard to believe we're already packing away combines and grain carts. Harvest is behind us. But before you put everything away for the off-season, Bruna Implement, your local Case IH dealer, invites you to take advantage of special financing, cash discount, or prepay options with their winter service special. Call in today and sign up so you're ready to go when next season rolls around. Bruna Implement, your local Case IH dealer, with locations in Washington, Clay Center, Marysville, Hiawatha, Seneca, and Humboldt, Nebraska.
This Thanksgiving, it's not just about gobbling up your favorite foods. It's time to gobble up the best internet deal of the year. Introducing the Gobbles and Gigs promotion from Giant Communications. For a limited time, get blazing fast gig symmetrical internet for just $50 a month for a gig of download and upload speed. Perfect for streaming, gaming, video calls, and all of your connected holiday moments. Call 785-362-9331 today or visit giantcomm.net for more details.
Hello, this is Dr. Brett Lukert from Lukert Chiropractic and Wellness. After almost 20 years in practice, I am convinced that optimal health really comes down to one word, discipline. Are we disciplined enough to say no to junk food when it's right in front of us? Are we disciplined enough to exercise when it's so much easier not to? Are we disciplined enough to embrace an attitude of gratitude despite the challenges we all face? Being disciplined may not be the easy way, but it's the healthy way. Call Lukert Chiropractic and Wellness at 284-0088 and let us help you start developing this discipline today.
Denison State Bank, putting your interest at heart.
In the sports world, offense scores points, but defense wins championships. That's how we should all view our finances, too. Earning money puts points on the board, but saving money keeps you in the game. For a reliable teammate you can count on, turn to DSB.
Denison State Bank, putting your interest at heart.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We will.
favorite segment, Buzz. We ask it every single week. Does your team do the rockin' or does they get the rock? All right, Boz, we're back here. Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show with Jake and Boz, and we are mobile, my friends.
We are. A little different.
First time we've done it. Big thanks to Ray for working tonight. MJ, as always, but special thanks to Captain Kirk Kilman right now, manning the ship back at the studios. We just heard from James from Axtell. Wade Gerstner tonight, a great call here. Brandon Tabin had a great call on KNZA. And also Crendon Prophet, a great call tonight as he had Centralia. My goodness, it's a big-time win for them tonight down in Pittsburgh, Kansas. And so the phone lines are open for you right now. The Giant Communications Hotline, 785-547-3461. We're live here at Dave Henry Field at Jackson Heights High School for our game of the week, where the Rossville Bulldogs, my goodness, the Dogs got out of their cage 5.5 minutes to go in that fourth quarter, trailing Jackson Heights by 17. They come back from a 38-21 deficit to win 42-38 here at our game of the week. Just an instant classic that you'll be able to relive if you want on the Cobra Channel live stream feed as on MSCSports.net or listen on the audio tab underneath MSCSports.net as well for Wade's great call here tonight. That game was over on 96.9 FM, The Pulse. The game you heard here on 103.9 FM was an instant classic as well. Boz, why don't you give us our scores from tonight again? And again, we're doing a little bit different because we're going from top level on down classification-wise. Boz, what we got?
All right. For Class 3A, Perry LeCompton, they faced off against Topeka Hayden tonight. Hayden gets the win 56-6. So Perry LeCompton's season comes to an end at a 5-6 record in Class 2A, Nemaha Central gets a big win for them over Osage City. Osage City previously undefeated. Nemaha knocks them off 33-27. So Nemaha advances to sub-state, sitting at 10-1 on the season. Class 1A, the game we took in tonight, Jackson Heights and Rossville. Absolutely fantastic game. Rossville rallies late. They get the win 42-38. Jackson Heights season comes to an end at 10-1. Rossville, they now sit at 8-3. They will face off against Centralia, who travel to Pitt Colgan tonight, and they defeat them 46-14. That's a big win. That's a huge win. Maybe we get somebody from Centralia to call in and tell us about that when they're probably driving home.
Come on now.
From Pitt Colgan, Centralia sitting at 10-1. They'll face off against Rossville at 8-3 in substate. On the other side of the bracket, Valley Heights, they defeated Medicine Lodge tonight 37-22. They move on to substate with a 9-2 record. Eight-man, Division One, Clifton Clyde. You'll see this often in sectionals.
Okay.
Shutout.
Mm.
Clifton Clyde shuts out Madison tonight 46-0.
Wow.
Their record improves to 9-2, and they are into substate. Eight-man, Division Two, Frankfort, they knock off Burlingame. And we had said last week,
yep,
we'd heard some chatter,
yep,
Burlingame is no joke. And I don't doubt it. Burlingame was undefeated at 10-0. Frankfort gets the win tonight, 46-38. They advance to substate, now sitting at 9-2. Axtell remains undefeated, 11-0. They knocked off Osborne tonight, 54-8. Big-time game coming up there, Frankfort. Excellent.
We'll break those down here in just a minute. I believe we're going to go to a caller here in just a second. But before we do that, the big game that was on 92.1 FM, Crendon Prophet, made the trip, Boz, down to Pittsburgh, Kansas. That young man in the last few weeks has gotten more mileage driving than he has in his entire life, probably,
yeah,
as he went to Dodge City a few weeks ago to cover state volleyball. Now he goes to Pittsburgh, Kansas,
yep,
to broadcast Centralia in a big-time win for the Panthers here tonight.
Hello, everybody. This is Crendon Prophet from KMZA 92.1 down here at Hutchinson Field, where the Centralia Panthers go on the road nearly 4 hours away from home to take on the St. Mary's Pitt Colgan Panthers in a game where The Centralia Panthers won 46-14. They were like dynamite right out of the gate. A big game for Jacob Flinty specifically, with over 256 rushing yards for 27 carries and 4 total touchdowns. He won my player of the game. Quinton Aldifer, he contributed with some big-time numbers as well. As Quinton Aldifer, he finished the game with 13 carries, 136 yards, and 2 touchdowns. This got out of the gate. Centralia, they started the ball on offense. That opening drive was 82 yards down the field in a 7-play sequence to go down and score. On their second drive as well, they scored a touchdown. They actually scored 4 straight touchdowns to begin the game. Both teams only had 1 possession in the first quarter. Centralia, they were able to dominate by controlling the clock and running that offensive line. The upline play was incredible. Credit to Aiden Talley, Mason Stahlbaumer, Tyron Talley, Parker Cook, and Gage Wimberly, all offensive linemen that played a big key role here in the blocking and the overall win for Centralia. Pitt Colgan, again, they only had 2 touchdowns on the game. Their first drive was 53 yards on their first possession. That was set up from an offside kick from Centralia. It was capped off by a rushing touchdown from Carson Simmons. Carson Simmons, who unfortunately went down on the 6th drive of the game for Pitt Colgan to start the second half. Unfortunately for him, he went down and he was out for the rest of the game. But coming in on that drive was Will Schremmer. And tell you what, Will Schremmer, he had an incredible drive. He had 3 completions on the drive. One of them was a touchdown pass to his cousin, Anthony Schremmer. And unfortunately for Pitt Colgan, they weren't able to make the matches for the rest of the game. Centralia, they really controlled the clock. To follow that touchdown, Centralia had a 7-minute touchdown drive. And then right after that, they had a quick score after getting a turnover on downs from Pitt Colgan. Again, the final 46-14, Centralia dominated. Now the Centralia Panthers are on to the sub-state championship game next week. Also, this is the first time Centralia has beaten Pitt Colgan in the playoffs since 2011, and now with the opportunity to go to sub-state for the first time since 2022. Again, the final score, 46-14. I'm Corinne Prophet with KMZA 92.1. Centralia wins.
All right, Crendon, man, Boz, can you just not enjoy how much excitement comes from that young man?
He loves it.
I enjoy his recaps just as much as I enjoy listening to him broadcast. Crendon, great job as always. And big time notes right there about Centralia. The Panthers beat Colgan for the first time in over a decade in the postseason. They beat them handedly, and they had an amazing performance from their quarterback.
Yeah, Jacob Flinty had a really big night. I mean, 256 rushes on 27 carries, 4 touchdowns.
Woo!
And we got to see them here a couple weeks ago in Centralia. Now, that was how quick ago? I guess it was just last week. Centralia, it's a team we haven't talked about a lot throughout the season. I mean, we see some numbers. They typically have some people up for the game ball, but overall as a team, I mean, they just, when we saw them play against Opie kind of scored early and we thought, ooh, that's going to be trouble. And then Centralia just gets down to work and they were able to take care of Opie no problem. Did the same thing tonight. I'm guessing Pitt Colgan is getting tired of teams from Northeast Kansas traveling down to their place.
Yeah.
Last year, JCN knocked them off in probably a little bit of an upset, shocker type deal. And now Centralia takes it to them. They don't want any part of Northeast Kansas anymore.
We say it a lot. We really do. That Northeast Kansas sports on a level, a little bit higher than typically what you see come out of Southeast Kansas. And it proves itself again here tonight with Centralia, a big-time road win at Pitt Colgan here this evening. So congratulations to the Panthers. And as a result, they will host now next week in the sub-state round with the – and again, I would call it an upset – because it was a 4-1 matchup, but a Rossville Bulldog team that has been on the road here this week at Jackson Heights takes care of business late in the ball game. Now they'll have to travel to Centralia and try and knock off the Panthers to go back to a state title game. And keep in mind that the Centralia Panther team, 2019, the last time they went that far, you know what they did that year?
Did they win?
They won.
Okay.
State.
Yeah.
Back then. Rossville, they're trying to get themselves back there after they had quite the run themselves in the latter part of the teen 2010 era. And so, great matchup next week. That's going to be on our list for sure. In that one, man.
I don't know how we're going to pick. There's so many good teams. But they're talking about specifically Rossville and Centralia. You know, we, early in this season, how many times did we say at Rossville, They lost their first 3 games. They were the best 0-3 team in the state probably. and Rossville, after reeling off a whole bunch of wins, they keep that streak going. That's a really good football team. Centralia is a really good football team. That's going to be a fantastic one.
785-547-3461 is the Giant Communications hotline. Gobble up the gigs this November. $50 gets you 1 gigabit of upload and download, high internet speed here from Giant Communications. All you got to do is go to giantcomm.net and learn more how you can qualify and get that gig internet for just $50. We're going to go back to our phone line, I believe, here, as we got somebody hanging on the line. Caller, okay. Are you there? All right.
I'm here.
There we go. All right, there we go. Who we got?
Hey, this is James still. I would be remiss if I did not actually talk about Axel. I know I called in a little bit ago and you know, discussed that Frankfurt game, but I wanted to give those boys from Axel a shout out. Okay.
You bet.
And before I go, I want to make sure that I also say how awesome is Prophet on his post game recaps. I mean, the way he gets going. Like, he gets your blood going. That makes me want to run through a wall. Like, great job, all right, for him.
Well, the game did end at halftime. We can confirm that.
Okay.
But tell me more about those boys that you want to get some love for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, come on, you know, 50 in a row. They've won 50 games in a row. 8-man state record. They've won 50 consecutive games. What they've got going on is awesome. And what's better yet, you know, they're a great, great football team. They're great kids. You know, I help coach. I'm an assistant coach at the boys basketball program. So I've been around these boys, since they were little, you know, and they're a great group of boys. And, you know, Brandon Schmelsley, Eli Brockstrom, you know, they get all the, you know, the headlines, which rightfully so. But, you know, they've also got a lot of kids that, you know, unnamed guys that are, you know, blocking downfield, doing the dirty work. And that's what it takes to be a great team. And it's just a great, great team, great program that, you know, Coach Detweiler has got there at Axtell, Coach Bussing, Coach Weeby. Those guys just do a tremendous job. And as I said, it's just the kids there have a complete buy-in, whether it's football, basketball, track, milking cows, you know, throwing hay bales. They're just great kids, you know, great work ethic, and it's good to see them having success because they really are great kids. So,
well, James, I appreciate it. I got some more statistics we'll roll out from the actual game here in just a second, but thanks for listening as always, and thanks for giving a call back.
Heck yeah.
Give some more love to those boys.
All right. Hey, take it easy, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, James, again from Axel. 785-547-3461 is the phone number. The Giant Communications hotline is open for you. We got another caller on the line. We'll get to him in just a second. But I wanted to give you some statistics from that game, Boz, as Axel does win 54-8. But when I'm looking at these stats, as far as the scoring stats that happened in that ball game, you see a lot of Brandon Schmelsley, as you expect to see on the night. Brandon Schmelsley rushes for just six times, 37 yards, 2 touchdowns in a game. 5 for 6 through the air for a 142 and 3 touches as well.
Pretty efficient.
Pretty efficient for him. Landon Schmitz had a rushing touchdown. He had 66 yards on just 3 carries, and his rushing touchdown, Boz, was only just simply from 65 yards out. And then how about Brandon Schmelsley? Also a 79-yard interception return for a touchdown.
Let's go.
In that game. That was the final touchdown to put the nail in the coffin at the end of that first half. Eli Brockstrom had a couple of receiving touchdowns, 3 catches for 58 yards, and Wyatt Detweiler, a 47-yard receiving touchdown as well. Axel can do it just about any and every way on the field.
That's the thing, and that's why I think Axel has been so good. It's not just one guy. You know, James mentioned it on the call. The guys we talk about, Brandon Schmelsley, Eli Brockstrom, I mean, those dudes are putting up fantastic numbers. So they're going to get the headlines. But he is 100% right. There's guys that we don't talk about enough. Probably, you know, the articles and write-ups and all the publicity doesn't say anything about the dudes getting the work done up front.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's just – you mentioned Landon Schmitz, I think, another guy that – you know, I mean, they have so many pieces. It's not just one dimensional. They can throw it. They can rush it. They can do whatever they want.
This is the type of weaponry that could be considered illegal for some areas.
Yeah,
friends,
for sure.
The way that they're able to slice and dice. And now they get to host Frankfurt next week, a TVO matchup and two teams that know a lot about each other and a 50-game winning streak for Axel will continue on here into next week's substate matchup against Frankfurt. Back to the Giant Communications Hotline. Boz, you asked for Centralia.
All right.
We've got some Centralia here.
Let's go.
Let's go to the Giant Communications Hotline now. Caller, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you fellas tonight?
Oh, this sounds like Cole to me from Centralia, Boz. Is this Cole?
It might be.
Yes, yes, sir. Cincinnati Bengal himself.
Oh, my friend. Well, hey, long travel back for you here this evening. But, you know, Crendon's recap gave us a lot of information about the game. But, you know, from your perspective, break that one down for me, because what a win for Centralia tonight.
Oh, it was a huge win. Every time we play Pitt Colgan at Colgan, we, you know, it's always kind of one of those foregone rivalries, I guess, out of, you know, we kind of meet up with them a lot, it seems like. But, yeah, the guys played well, and it all starts up front. You know, the big hog Molly's up front, blocked well. Pitt Colgan didn't want any part of that, and which was nice to see.
You know, that's one thing I've talked about after watching you guys play a couple times, your physicality. You mentioned that. You know, we've seen that around this area. Dudes just playing with a ton of energy, incredibly physical teams. What is it about Centralia? I mean, that physical mentality, how do they get that?
That's a great question. We've had that for a while. We've kind of been known for that, and we tend to wear teams down with it. You know, the starts up front with, you know, Tyron Talley and Mason Stahlbaumer and Callan Overding and Parker Cook and Ben Haverkamp. They do a whale of a job making holes. And Jacob Flinney ran possessed tonight. He was on a mission. He unfortunately took two kids out just by him hitting them, which is crazy. But luckily those guys got up. But he lead blocked for Quentin had a long run that he lead blocked out on, and really changed the game for us.
Well, just an amazing win for the Panthers. And, well, Cole, you're going to get to come home and you're going to get to host a sub-state championship game next week against the Rossville Bulldogs as they come back against Jackson Heights tonight in the other quarterfinal matchup for setting up next week's contest. And so I know you got a little bit of travel ahead of you. You got some time to think about it, but what are your initial thoughts heading into next week?
Well, honestly, guys, I was shocked just hearing. We kind of watched a little bit of the Jackson Heights game, Rossville game, and hearing it on the Cobra station, and we were kind of shocked at the outcome the way it was, because when we knew it at the end of our game or about third quarter, Jackson Heights was up a couple scores, and the pass gives us trouble. So we will we'll see how well our secondary adjusts, and even tonight, you know, they. Their big plays were given up on pass plays. So it'll be fun to be at home, and you know, win or lose, it'll be a heck of a game.
Well, safe travels to you, Cole, and thanks for listening to the show, and thanks for calling in tonight, and congratulations on a big win for the Panthers tonight.
Appreciate you, fellas.
All right, that is Cole calling from Centralia, Boz, and a great matchup. Great to get a little bit of insight on what happened down there in Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Well, we kind of saw that last week against Olpe. Olpe kind of punched Centralia in the mouth a little bit early in the game, and once Centralia got things rolling, they started playing the physical football that they like to do, and that game kind of turned on a dime. Right before half, Centralia scored twice, took 16-14 lead going into half, and from that point on, it was Centralia ran away with it. But I really think Cole's right. I mean, the physicality that they play with, you can wear teams down. You can beat them up to the point where they just don't want any part of it anymore.
This is a Centralia program that is just tradition rich. And it's a program that, you know, a lot of people looking around, they're like, oh, maybe, you know, Centralia is going to be they're going to be good again this year. Do they have what it takes to make that deep run? And they're answering it every single time somebody knocks on that door with that question.
It's just a come on, naysayers. Like,
yes.
Just give us some fuel, give us some fire. You guys think we're down. We're not going to be the same Centralia team. And, I don't know if kids listen to that, but I can't imagine they don't hear it. You know, you guys might not be as good. And I think it adds a little chip on the shoulder, you know. Those guys have some motivation. Obviously, they want to play well. They want to win state titles. But just maybe that extra little bit, like, hey, we'll show you guys how good we are.
All right, we're going to stick with the Giant Communications Hotline here. We've got Scott on the line with us, GiantCOMM.net. You've got an opportunity for $50, and that gives you a gigabit of upload and download speed symmetrical with Giant Communications, 785-362-9331 to get yourself in for that. Scott, are you there?
Hey, Jake, I'm here.
And tell me about what you want to talk with us about tonight, Scott.
I got to go down home and watch the best record Osage City team in school history with Nemaha Central. And I'm telling you, man, that was an exciting game, instant classic. Nemaha Central, that pounded out, grinded out style with Osage City's high-flying, fast-paced offense. And man, that was a fun game to watch. Unfortunately, for my team anyway, it didn't go the way we'd like.
So, hey, can you tell me, late in the game, so last I had heard, they had the ball in Nemaha territory, like the, I don't know, I had heard that they were going to kick a field goal, and that didn't happen. They went for it on fourth and short. I want to get some details on that, because I don't know that we got all the information, but what happened late in the game there?
Well, late in the game, Nemaha Central scored with, I think it was 19 and a half seconds left. So Osage City got the ball with 19 and a half seconds and had three shots. And they moved the ball a little bit, but then they had to have a 40-yard into the end zone with like 3.7 seconds left, and Nemaha Central batted it down right at the goal line.
Okay. Tell me about the atmosphere, Scott. I mean, I think this, you mentioned it. It was the best record for Osage City. You got Nemaha Central, the defending 2A state champions, coming down. So tell me about the atmosphere down there tonight.
Oh, it was exciting. You know, Osage City was looking, their season's ended against Nemaha Central probably three out of the last 5 years. And
yeah,
they were looking to finally get over that hump. And thought they had the offense to do it, and I think they do. And they're not losing much. They get all their skill players back, so they're going to be tough again next year. But the difference in the game to me was the experience. You know, Nemaha Central's been there, and but you could just tell when the game was on the line. There's just a little bit more grit there.
Yeah. So the opportunity to take that game in, and again, you know, you've been in Northeast Kansas for a long time. You mentioned you're a native of Osage City. You know, what's it like to continually be able to watch great football, you know, deep into November, like you've been able to do your entire life, basically, living up here in Northeast Kansas, my friend?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, watching you guys growing up and watching that hard-nosed Holton football, but it's a lot different than down home where everything there's always been the air-and-out type offense, even 100 years ago when I was in high school. So, it's exciting to go down there and see those boys have a good season. You know, and since I think probably 2018, 2017, somewhere in there, Gattenbein's had a pretty solid program. I think their records have been like 8-2, 9-2 every year. They can't get over that hump, what's called Nemaha Central.
Yeah. Not many people can, Scott. That definitely, we've seen that, especially the last few years. But, Scott, thanks for calling in, my friend. Travel safe tonight, and thanks for listening to the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show.
All right. See you, Jake. See you, Boz.
See you, man.
Thanks a lot. Scott calling in right there, giving good insight. But here's the thing as well, Boz, is that we got Brandon Tadman that'll be calling in here.
Oh, let's go.
Here shortly. I don't know if he's on the line right now. If he is, Kurt, go ahead and put him on through. But he'll be calling in here, and he's going to give us a live recap of what he said was an instant classic. Scott said the same exact thing.
Yep.
And when you can continually have games like this in the sectional round this deep into the playoffs, man, it's just so impressive to see these two teams just go duke it out.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We're sitting here watching our game, and we're getting score updates, and they're tight, every single one of them. And there was just man, back and forth, Frankfurt game. I don't know who's going to win that. Nemaha, Council Grove, it was neck and neck. And then Rossville makes the comeback. I mean, there was, if we, I said this before, I need three of myself so I can go around and watch all these games all at once. Or maybe they put them on TV and I can have screens just up and watch all the different games.
Well, we don't want to do that. We just want to, duplicate ourselves somehow.
Let's
so
do that.
That's something that. That we're going to try and figure that out for next year. But, we're going to stay on the Giant Communications hotline now. We teed it up for him right here. B-Tad, come on over here and join us, my friend. What a game you had tonight.
Oh boy, man. We got a lot to talk about here. Probably a short amount of time, but, I got a little bit of time still cruising on the drive, but, yeah, absolutely sensational game, both sides of the ball, and fire away. What do you guys want to know?
Big thing that I want to know, we just heard from Scott that was down there watching it in person. He's a native of Osage City, and Osage City, you know, I think he references the best. It was their best team record-wise and a high-flying offense heading into this matchup, and the score really dictated that this was one heck of a matchup. So what I want to know is what was the turning point in the game that you saw here tonight that put Nemaha Central on top?
Man, I don't, if you listen to the pregame and head coach Michael Glassick, I asked him really the keys to the game, and the first thing he said was, well, we're going to have to fight some adversity. And Nemaha Central, they got punched in the mouth two plays into the game. You felt the, trying to think of the right word, but Osage City, they came out ready to play. They won the toss, and they wanted the ball. You really don't see that a ton. You know, 9 out of 10 times, you feel like most teams win the toss. They defer to the second half, but saw Nemaha or Osage City win the toss and take the ball. I was like, all right, they're feeling something here. And first play, they go for 2 yards, simple run, second and 8. Second play of the game, they hit Quentin Stark for a 70-yard bomb that he almost actually dropped and kind of pinned it at his hip and beat the defender down the sideline. So two plays in, talk about fighting through adversity, Nemaha Central, they're down 7-0. They get the ball, and then they have a 3rd and 2. And then there was kind of a miscommunicated play, kind of a just an awkward play that turned into Hike trying to just scramble, turn something into nothing. He ends up losing about 10 or 11 yards. And just like that, Nemaha Central's 3 and out. They're punting from near their own end zone. And all the momentum early is with Osage City. But Nemaha Central fights back. They always do. They get a stop, get the ball back. They execute a long drive, get a touchdown. They get another stop, work another drive, get a touchdown. They take all the momentum back. They lead 14-7. And then all of a sudden, Osage City, they take that ensuing kickoff back for a touchdown, 75 yards, and quickly they get it back. It's 14-14. Really the turning point probably in the second half. It's pretty easy to say that, but Nemaha Central, they take the lead at 20. They took their opening drive in the third quarter. They drive down near 70-yard drive. They take the lead back 20-14. They actually missed the extra point, which turned out to be kind of a crucial part in the game because Osage City got the ball right back, drove down the field and scored, took the lead at 21-20. And then obviously both teams were very good with the ball, except for one drive for Nemaha Central. They turned it over after they went down 21-20. Carter Hike fighting through a couple guys and the ball just popped out, and Osage City, you know, capitalized on that turnover. They scored probably about 60 seconds later, and then they wanted to go for two. So obviously that was a big swing in the game. You know, they had a chance to go up 2 scores late in the third quarter. Fortunate for Nemaha to stop, and it stays at a 27. Nemaha Central comes right back. They take their drive into the fourth quarter and score. They tie it at 27. And then kind of going back to that last caller, he kind of went around the question, Boz, that you were asking about that last Osage City drive. I'm glad I'm on here because now I can kind of really break it down for you guys, because I was kind of befuddled with kind of that call. And credit Osage City on that last drive. You know, they were eating up the entire fourth quarter. They got it to, you know, about 3 minutes to go. And, you know, they converted multiple fourth downs on that drive, a 4th and 4, a 4th and 1. They got backed up on a penalty and had to convert a 3rd and 17. They completed a pass for 20 yards. You know, and it just felt like just those conversions right there, it just felt like Osage City was building to take the lead late. And, you know, they get an opportunity. Nemaha Central gets a couple of stops, and, you know, they're inside the 20. It's 4th and 11 at the Nemaha Central 17-yard line. And Osage City, they take a timeout. And they had a kicker on the sideline. They had a very capable kicker who's made field goals this year, and he was warming up on the sidelines. I just assumed You know, it would have been a fairly short, makeable kick, less than 30 yards, and fourth and 11 at the 17, they elect to go for it in a tie game with 3 minutes to go, and they try to kind of a trick, reverse, backwards pass to the quarterback, and credit to that Kaysen Parsons. He's a sensational athlete, and a lot of those guys are coming back for Osage City, so they'll be back next year, but kind of a head-scratching play. He actually almost got it, but he ended up 2 yards shy. Emaw Central, 3 minutes left. It was Carter Hike, probably 7-8 straight carries. He gets it all the way down to the 1 yard line himself, and then he scores the what would be the game winning touchdown. And again, unofficial stats, and my math is terrible. I can be off, but I had Carter down for, so give or take, not just a few yards, maybe give or take 15 or 20 yards. But, you know, I had Carter Hike for 46 carries tonight for 274 yards. And four touchdowns, and that was 85% of the Nemaha Central offense. But, yeah, that last drive for Osage City was kind of a head-scratching call and leans to, do they not have, you know, the faith in that kicker on the sideline? They had the whole net set up for him, and, again, what would have been, you know, a 27-yard field goal, and by his extra points, looked like he would have had plenty enough to potentially make a go-ahead field goal and then really put Nemaha on their heels. But fourth and 11 from the 17, they decide to go for it. And Nemaha Central, they get the ball back and drive 90 yards in 3 minutes and score in the final 20 seconds. And what really crazy in the final, so after the touchdown is scored, and I know I'm just rambling, but I'm just giving the best recap possible here.
Yeah, you're doing it, man. Keep it up.
Seconds, yeah, so 19 and a half seconds to go. Nemaha Central lines up. Their kicker does kind of a pooch kick. And I'm pretty close to the Nemaha Central coaches in the press box, and when he kicked it off, they weren't too excited about the kind of kick that he had there. Yet the guy trying to catch it for Osage City drops it, muffed it. Nemaha Central recovers it, and it appeared to be the game over. Well, then all of a sudden they start moving everybody back, and they got a re-kick, and I'm trying to think, well, what's the call here? And then, you know, I get a little tap, and they said apparently there was an inadvertent whistle by the ref. So they had to kick it again. They kicked it off. The same kid, Dylan Teal, another sensational junior who had the kickoff return touchdown in the first half. He, boy, for a quick second, it looked like he had a seam to maybe bust one to the house. What would have been a wild ending there. But, you know, he gets tripped up shy midfield. You know, again, roughly under 20 seconds. They do a couple of quick screen passes. They get a couple of plays out of bounds. And, you know, they get it to within Hail Mary territory. And they got a shot to, you know, I don't think it quite got to the end zone, and obviously Nemaha had a bunch of bodies there to bat it down. But I will give a shout-out to the Osage City fans sitting in front of me because I had the press box window open the entire game, and they were cool with it. Until they heard my final call of Carter Hike scoring the game-winning touchdown, I had three pairs of hands turning around. They were very quick to try to shut my window. They didn't want to hear any more of it, so I helped them out. I said, don't worry, I'll shut it for you. I'm sorry it had to kind of go down that way, and it was just an incredible game. And what's crazy is I left there thinking, man, I had the game of the night, and then all of a sudden I heard your recap of Rossville, Jackson Heights, and I was like, well, maybe not. Might have the second-best game of the night, but yeah, it was an exciting game. Osage City had Nemaha Central on their heels multiple times. And the Thunder responded every single time. The Carter Hike train continuing, only a junior, 2A player of the year last year. Nearly 50 carries tonight and approaching maybe 300 carries on the season, maybe 600 carries over the last 2 years. And he just got better in the fourth quarter. He was just harder to tackle late, and he was gashing them on that final drive, 10, 11, 12 yards. And you could just kind of sense it down the stretch that Nemaha Central was going to win the game. And the three-peat is still alive for the Thunder, excited for them and their fan base. And it was a heck of a game. And I thought that might have been the best team they were going to see until the state championship. So I thought if they could get past tonight that they would have a very good shot to get back to the state championship.
I think that you are definitely onto something. As the number one seed at the top side of the bracket, Humboldt loses to Council Grove tonight, 31-8, and so it will be Nemaha. Nemaha Central will host Council Grove next week at Thunderfield in Seneca. It'll be an electric environment. BTAD, I'll ask you one more thing. before we got to get to our next break, and that's the fact that you mentioned Carter Hike. You mentioned this team, the resiliency of this team. You had, hey, there it is. I wanted to do it so bad while you were talking, but I couldn't.
Jake keeps sitting here. If you could see him live, when you say hi, Carter Hike, he's doing the hike.
I'm trying to just respect the airwaves right now, but I wanted to, so thank you for doing that. But the ability for this team, after losing in week one, now they are on a roll, and you mentioned it. Possibly the best opponent they would have until a state title game is behind them now. What are your thoughts? You've seen this team multiple times now, making that happen next week at home against Council Grove.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to see Council Grove yet, but obviously they were in arguably the toughest district and played a lot of the teams in the Big East and were very competitive and played teams like Silver Lake and Osage City. They had Osage City on their heels, you know, in their regular season matchup. They kept that one close. They have Ace Monahan, I believe is his name. They have a really good running back that is kind of the leader of their offense. They play, you know, as I mentioned again, some similar opponents to Nemaha Central. I honestly don't know if I call that upset or really a huge upset. Obviously, Humboldt was undefeated and obviously had, you know, their steam going with it. But, you know, on paper and just when you look at, again, just kind of the competition and the strength of schedule, I thought Council Grove had a really good shot of winning that game. And yeah, I thought Osage City was going to be the toughest test for Nemaha Central, you know, really until the state championship game. And I think Council Grove, you know, again, they're going to be more heavily on the run with their star running back. They got a good quarterback as well. The thing tonight with Osage City, it was just two completely different offenses. I mean, it's Carter Hike right up the middle, maybe to the outside. I think Jaden Seitz had five or six carries, and he was efficient for maybe 50 or so yards. That was really the only other offense, you know, for Nemaha Central outside of Carter Hike. And I mentioned Jaden Seitz. I want to give him a shout-out real quick. You know, he got burnt, you know, on a couple of plays, and Osage City has big playability as anybody. But especially on that last drive, they were attacking him with Quentin Stark, and they were taking shots, and he had some big-time, you know, batted-down plays and some one-on-one. So he was very good for Nemaha Central defensively, especially late. But Osage City, it was nothing but screen passes, short passes, you know, and then they would take a shot here and there, and then obviously Nemaha Central. So it was just two completely different offenses tonight, and it was just an insane game, obviously, that came down to the wire. But obviously for Council Grove, it'll be a little more run-heavy for them and a little more similar style with Nemaha Central's offense, except for the difference is they use their running back, and Nemaha Central is going to use their quarterback in Carter Hike.
All right, B-Tab. Well, thanks so much for a great call tonight. If you want to recap B-Tad's call tonight, Nemaha Central at Osage City, you can recap that and re-listen to it and relive all the magic of 103.9 FM's coverage of playoff football on mscsports.net. Drive safe coming back, buddy, and get your voice ready to go next week, my friend.
Sounds like I've been smoking a pack of cigarettes for 20 years. I'm ready, boys.
Appreciate it, B-Tad. And Brandon Tabin, our sports director, does amazing work for us with a great game here tonight as Nemaha Central knocks out Osage City tonight. Final touchdown from Carter Hike and punches the Thunder into the sub-state round where they will host Council Grove next week. We'll break down all the brackets. I don't think I got anybody on hold right now, but if you want to get in on the action, 785-547-3461 is the Giant Communications hotline. It's open for you right now. Kirk Kilmut still doing amazing work for us back in the studios. Again, 785-547-3461 is the phone number. We got to step aside for another break. When we come back, we'll break down brackets for next week. It's sub-state time here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Meet Jason Ronenbaum, your newest commercial, personal, or agricultural lender with Community National Bank.
Hi, I'm Jason Ronenbaum with Community National Bank. With 6 years of banking experience and being in Northeast Kansas for most of my life, I'm dedicated to serving our community's financial needs. Whether you're looking for personal, agricultural, or commercial banking solutions, I'm here to help us achieve your financial goals today. Welcome home, Community National Bank.
Right at home.
Member FDIC,
Eagle Housing Lender.
Hey, you, did you hear that Giant Mobile from Giant Communications is launching soon?
Wait, will Giant Mobile have the newest and best smartphones?
Absolutely. They'll also be a part of America's most reliable network.
Will Giant Mobile have the same local support and customized plans we've become used to with Giant Communications?
There's no doubt about it, because Giant Mobile delivers the perfect combination of cutting-edge technology and personal service. Don't miss out on the excitement. Find the phone and service that match your lifestyle.
All I have to do is visit GiantCOMM.net or call 362-9331.
Imagine what would happen if you went on vacation without packing bags or making reservations. Now imagine what would happen if you didn't prepare for retirement. At Edward Jones, we believe everyone can be prepared for retirement. That's why we strongly encourage you to open and contribute to an Edward Jones IRA. If you have an IRA elsewhere, it's easy to transfer to Edward Jones and begin receiving the face-to-face advice you deserve. To open an Edward Jones IRA, contact myself, Jeff Russell in Sabetha, Shannon Wright in Holton, or Brad Edwards in Hiawatha. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Knotty Pine Oil is proud to announce the pumps are now open on Old 75 south of Holton. Member agreements are available in the office. The pumps are accessible 24/7, offering premium 91 octane, 87 octane with ethanol, diet and clear diesel, as well as DEF. Knotty Pine is back to their old roots as 82 years later, they honor what Grandpa Fletcher started. Visit them anytime for high quality fuel products and enjoy the convenience of the new location just south of Holton on Old 75 Highway.
MCON is a full-service construction company specializing in excavating and underground utility work as well as conservation and tile projects. MCON recently received the Safety Excellence Award, offering turnkey services for water and sewer projects. MCON has delivered results throughout the Midwest with knowledge and experience as a family-owned local business in Wathena. MCON is also always looking to add to their 90-plus member team. Contact MCON in Wathena or visit MCONUnderground.com.
American Family Insurance.
As your American Family Insurance agent in Holton, I'm looking out for what matters most to you, even when nothing's wrong. This is Brad Noller, agent. Call me at 785-364-3302 and let's talk about your insurance needs today. Contact Brad Noller, agent at 364-3302 or stop by one of our three locations on the Holton Square or Topeka today.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
November is a time for Thanksgiving, but many in our communities feel food insecurity during the season. Join GM Bank's Horton and Hiawatha locations in a friendly competition as we collect food donations for the North and South Brown County Food Pantry. If you are able, please consider bringing shelf-stable food items to the Horton and Hiawatha locations from November 4th through the 25th. We are thankful for our community and glad to serve those in need this time of year.
It's Jake and Bonds back hanging out with you here on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show here on the MSC Sports Radio Network. Kirk Kilman doing great work back in the studio for us as we are mobile here tonight, Bonds. Live here from Jackson Heights High School. It was our game of the week, and Bonds and I wanted to test something out a little bit and see, is this possible for us to do a mobile show? And with the great help of Kurt back in the studios, getting our callers in to us, we found out, it's a doable thing potentially here. So we're here at Dave Henry Field, the site for Jackson Heights, Rossville at 1A. What a quarterfinal match it was here as Rossville comes back to defeat Jackson Heights tonight. And an amazing game for the Dogs as they come back to knock off the Cobras. They will now face off against Centralia next week in a sub-state game here in Class 1A. We just heard from Brandon Tadman, our sports director, doing a great job from Osage City as Nemaha Central is going back to a sub-state championship game, trying to defend their crown from a year ago in Class 2A with a big 33-27 win. Bonds, they will now take on Council Grove. Before I just take all the brackets away from you and talk more details, I'll let you give us the eight-man updates as we have still alive some Twin Valley League schools representing very well in eight-man, and I'll go back to 1A here in just a minute.
So, yeah, we've got Frankfort, a big win tonight against Burlingame. And that one, I'm not shocked, but just from what we'd heard, I mean, Burlingame undefeated, the word was they were very good. Frankfurt, and just they're a super good football team as well. They get the win 46-8. And then Axtell, you know, we've talked about Axtell and how they're continuing to roll, still undefeated, 50-game win streak. They defeated Osborne 54-8. So that matchup, Axtell, Frankfurt, Substate, that's going to be a heck of a ball game.
In Axtell for that one next week. The two losses for Frankfurt, by the way, this year, it was Axtell earlier in the season and Hanover. Well, Hanover was knocked out by Burlingame last week in the postseason in a big-time win for Burlingame at home against Hanover 36-24, and so Frankfurt able to right the ship in a way to get themselves to a sub-state game. Once again, Boz, this is a rematch from a season ago. Back in 1A as well, definitely don't want to leave out in Twin Valley League action, the Valley Heights Mustangs on the back of, we talk about Jaden DeWalt every single week, and this kid has continued to turn yards into yards into yards into touchdowns, and they've got a matchup next week against Conway Springs, the defending 1A state champions from a season ago. But the Mustangs, a team that probably was not getting the love across the entire state the way that they should have. How did they get to this point, Boz? Well, they get the three seed, so they host Oakley, took care of business there, and then a really, really tough Sterling team. And Valley Heights took it to the Black Bears last round. Gosh, can I talk tonight, Boz? Yeah. It's a little chilly where we're at. Okay, so a little teeth chattering going on here. But then they host Medicine Lodge here tonight and defeat them 37-22. This Medicine Lodge team took overtime against Hutch Trinity last week to win 22-0. And why did they play Hutch Trinity? Why did they play the two seed Mound Ridge? Well, because Hutch Trinity knocked off Mound Ridge in the opening round 20-14. And so that Medicine Lodge team was a very battle-tested team as well. And the Mustangs just really took it to Medicine Lodge tonight, and now they've got a date next week in Conway Springs, just one win away for the Mustangs of going to a state title game.
Yeah, and Conway Springs, they're a very good football team. You mentioned state title win last season. They're 11-0 on this season this year. But I'm telling you, Valley Heights playing some really good football late in the season. That's, you always want your team peaking at the right time. And, you know, they're sitting at 9-2, so not like they've had a, you know, bad season. But you get a few bumps in the road early, and then you put things together, and that's kind of the way it looks right now. They're playing really good football.
You know, one of those two losses was against a team that was on the top side of this bracket in 1A. Next week it's Rossville at Centralia for that sub-state matchup. Centralia Valley Heights played all the way back in week number one, with the Panthers getting the edge over those Mustangs that we were just talking about now. So, good.
Three out of four teams, sub-state. Rossville, Centralia, Valley Heights.
Local area.
Come on.
Northeast Kansas football, my friend. It is alive and well. We got to get to one more break. Come back. We're going to dive into these a little bit deeper as well with matchups next week. We're going to talk a little bit about our Lucre Chiropractic and Wellness game ball nominees of the night so far. Boz, who do we have?
From Nemaha Central, Carter Hike.
Hutt Hike.
We heard Brandon Tadman talking about him a second ago. 46 carries tonight for 274 yards, four touchdowns. Also heard that he was 6 of 9 passing for 70 yards. From Centralia, two young men balled out tonight. Jacob Flenty, 256 rushing yards on 27 carries with four touchdowns. Quentin Aldifer had a heck of a ball game, 136 rushing yards on 13 carries with two touchdowns. And then we got a shout out for Axtell, and this is, a lot of times it's individual numbers and stats, but Axtell, the whole team in general, 50 games in a row.
Yeah.
Eight-man state record. This team is just ridiculously good. But what I like even better is they're fantastic kids.
Yep.
They work hard. Caller mentioned hauling bales and milking cows and whatever it is they're doing. They're working hard at it. All the other sports they do. So I love to see those kind of shout outs.
All right. You can put it in the Facebook feed online at Facebook for your nominations for tonight's games, or you can call 785-547-3461. If you have somebody that needs to be on that list, by all means, give us a shout as we're rolling on here with Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show. We'll be right back after this here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Meet Jason Ronenbaum, your newest commercial, personal, or
no
agricultural
comment,
lender
Mr.
with
J.
Community National Bank.
Hi, I'm Jason Ronenbaum with Community National Bank.
No with comment on my little note to you?
In Northeast Kansas for most of my life, I'm dedicated to serving our community's financial needs. Whether you're looking for personal, agricultural, and commercial banking solutions, I'm here to help. Let's achieve your financial goals today. Welcome home.
Yeah, thank
Community
you.
National Bank.
I figured you'd be free, though.
Remember, FDIC, Eagle Housing Lender.
Helena Agri Enterprises in Centralia, Seneca, Bern, and Home City are driven by the success of our customers.
Well, I got to tell you something after we get done.
I
tried something
and
it worked.
Foremost agricultural and specialty.
I was actually surprised.
Our crop protection products, fertilizer, and application
services. I tried something with
the
phones and I was actually surprised.
To help our customers succeed. Put our local people to work for you. Call or see us at Helena Agri Enterprises in Seneca, Centralia, Bern, and Home City.
I
on
see
your way
you.
To the game or on the ride home from the game, stop by McDonald's in Seneca or Hiawatha for a meal or just for a snack. There's a variety of delicious items to choose from on their menu, and you can get them to go. Why cook before or after the game? Stop in for your favorite drink or ice cream treat like a McFlurry or an ice cream cone. Or one of your favorite sandwich like a Big Mac or a Quarter Pounder. Whether you're headed to or from the game, stop by McDonald's in Hiawatha.
You know, you can say the Gophers getting awful ugly back at the radio station.
Hard to believe
we're
already packing away combines and grain carts. Harvest is behind us. But before you put everything away for the off-season, Bruna Implement, your local Case IH dealer, invites you to take advantage of special financing, cash discount, or prepay options with their winter service special. Call in today and sign up so you're ready to go when next season rolls around. Bruna Implement, your local Case IH dealer, with locations in Washington, Clay Center, Marysville, Hiawatha, Seneca, and Humboldt, Nebraska.
With all the financial headlines, are you wondering if your retirement savings will last? The market's ups and downs can keep you guessing, especially if you're approaching retirement or considering it. If you have more questions than answers about what's next, your Edward Jones financial advisor can help you prepare for your journey. After all, retirement isn't the end of the trek, it's a new beginning. If you're looking for answers, call me, Shannon Wright in Holton, Jeff Russell in Sabetha, Brad Edwards in Hiawatha. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
This Thanksgiving, it's not just about gobbling up your favorite foods. It's time to gobble up the best internet deal of the year. Introducing the Gobbles and Gigs promotion from Giant Communications. For a limited time, get blazing fast, gig symmetrical internet for just $50 a month. For a gig of download and upload speed, perfect for streaming, gaming, video calls, and all of your connected holiday moments. Call 785-362-9331 today or visit giantcomm.net for more details.
Denison State Bank, putting your interest at heart.
Denison State Bank turns 123 years old this year, and we really are as easy as 1, 2, 3. With our age comes lots of experience in making banking easy and accessible. Why mess around with those big banks when you can get easy 1, 2, 3 banking right here in your hometown?
Denison State Bank, putting your interest at heart.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Dorsey Hall, CEO at Community National Bank. You're listening to Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Thank you, Dorsey, as always, as we're in here for the final time here for the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show here on the MSC Sports Radio Network, as we've got Kirk Kilman back in the studios. You're hanging out with Jake and Boz. I'm Jake, and that's Boz.
Hey, everybody.
And we've got, again, I don't think we can say it enough how great of a Friday night as far as quality of football games that we have taken in, whether it was here at Dave Henry Field between Rossville and Jackson Heights, or across the area with Axtell extending their winning streak to 50. Frankfurt, back and forth game against Burlingame and the Wildcats. The Fighting Wes Anderson.
My dogs, yeah.
Coming back and getting a big win to take on Axtell next week now. Valley Heights winning at home here tonight against Medicine Lodge to match up with Conway next week. We've got Clifton Clyde with a big win, a shutout win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen very often in eight-man football, let alone any organized football. Centralia goes down to Pitt Colgan and puts it to St. Mary's Colgan in Pittsburgh tonight. And then Nemaha Central, you can't say enough about Carter Hike and what those boys in the purple and blue are able to do. Man, I just rhymed.
You
I
did.
Didn't even
you
know.
Did. Yeah, that's
I
good.
I just kept going.
Yeah.
I had to recognize it for a second. What they've been able to do this year after that week one loss to Marysville. Coach Gladsick, you got to give a lot of credit to Coach Michael Gladsick and those kids for responding, because adversity has hit that team, not only in the game tonight against Osage City, but injuries have plagued them many times this season. But they're finding a way to churn through, continue to put one foot in front of the other, and Nemaha Central one step closer to going back to a state title game to defend their crown from a year ago. Boz, we've got Luca Chiropractic and Wellness Game Ball nominees here. We're going to give everybody one more opportunity to get a nomination in for somebody maybe that is not on that list. So they got to know who's on it first, though.
All right. We've got from Nemaha Central, Carter Hike.
Hut-hut.
Hike, 46 carries tonight for 274 yards with four touchdowns. From Centralia, Jacob Flinty, 256 rushing yards on 27 carries with four touchdowns. Also from Centralia, Quinton Aldifer, 136 rushing yards on 13 carries with two touchdowns. And from Axtell, shout out to the whole team with what they're able, what they've been able to do the last several years. 50 in a row, eight-man state record. Fantastic kids getting all the work done last several years for Axtell.
All right, those are your nominations so far tonight. If you want to get another nomination in, you got a little bit of time left. 785-547-3461. Boz, you know what we call Captain Kirk Kilman back at the studios? I guess maybe what he calls himself, I guess, for the most part.
I don't know. What you got?
He's the MSC Gopher.
Okay.
And I got a text from the Gopher needs his beauty sleep. And so
you should know what he's signing up for with the scoreboard show. We stay up late.
We always enjoy what Kurt's able to do here for the show and here on our networks. He's always behind the scenes and making things happen so you, the listener at home, can enjoy the content that comes across the airwaves. So big thanks to you, Kurt. We'll make sure to get you tucked in here real shortly. But next week's games are going to be extremely important coming up. You're looking at Substate Week, my friend. And, you know, we had teams coming into this matchup, Jackson Heights and Rossville. Heights had not been to a state title game all the way since 1983. That streak will continue for them as a big comeback mounted by Tyson Horak and the Rossville Bulldogs here tonight. This team lost to Silver Lake, St. Mary's, and Nemaha by a combined 15 points this year. And Jackson Heights had built a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter, but the Dogs find a way to come back on the back of Tyson Horak, who delivered some great balls tonight to his receivers, and they're just able to make something happen with him. That tunnel screen, we saw it many times tonight. Really an amazing execution by Rossville.
Yeah, Rossville, they just never gave up hope. I mean, bottom line, the game is not over till the final second is gone. They things were looking pretty grim for them late in the game, but, man, all it takes is one good thing to go right, and they were able to duplicate that with getting some onside kicks. This is a really good Rossville team, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Jackson Heights and how good of a season they've had.
Sure.
Hate it. You know, if we could have split these guys up and moved them around the bracket a little bit just for our area and the teams, I'd love to see both those guys moving forward. That was a heck of a football game.
Amazing football game in the sectional round here at Jackson Heights as the Cobras suffer their first loss of the season. And they will have some guys to replace going into next season, but they do return a handful of guys from this roster. But some big-time names for this team that will definitely be missed going into next year for the Jackson Heights Cobras. How about who Rossville will take on next week? Well, they'll have to travel to Centralia as the Panthers go down to Pittsburgh tonight and knock off St. Mary's Colgan in dominant fashion here this evening, 46-14. It's a matchup between Rossville and Centralia next week, Boz, in Substate.
It's going to be a heck of a ball game. And, you know, we've talked about it a little bit. Does the league you play in, does it matter? I think that question probably answered tonight. You know, Rossville played some bigger schools within their league. You could make the argument that I shouldn't say argument, not that they're playing better teams, but we see that throughout the state. You know, the league you play in prepares you for postseason stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that question was answered tonight. Jackson Heights had a huge lead late in the game. They gave Rossville everything they could, so I don't know that that's a factor. Centralia is a really good football team, playing really good right now. They've got some dudes. They got the linemen blocking, their running game. I mean, they're firing on all cylinders. That's going to be a fantastic matchup.
And I'm remiss right now to I left Ray Petting off when we came back from break because I didn't know he was still up in the studio now.
Ray
Petting, MJ Hammock, just amazing work by them tonight. We had three different networks going on three different amazing games. Got to give shout-outs to everybody here on the MSC Radio Network. Perry LeCompton went down to Hayden after a big-time road win at Frontenac last week. And Hayden is just the real deal in Class 3A as they knocked off Perry 56-6.
Yeah, Topeka Hayden, we knew that was going to be a tough one for Perry, but our hope was Perry got a little shot in the arm, big-time win over Frontenac, hoping they could carry that momentum into the game against Hayden. But Hayden's just a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
And Perry LeCompton's had it's hard when you look at it, improvement over last season.
Oh, yeah.
They had a good season. I don't think if you talk to Perry LeCompton folks, they're probably not happy with where things ended. You look at some of the, you know, they were in some close games this year and just couldn't quite get over the hump. So good season for Perry LeCompton from what they did a season ago, but Hayden is the real deal.
That was my dark horse pick, Boz, and what qualifies a dark horse successful season is 150% increase from the season before.
Okay.
They went from 2 wins to 5 wins this year.
All right.
You know what that equates to? 150% improvement. And so
right,
I'm just saying, Perry LeCompton, yes, I think that's definitely a successful season for the cause underneath head coach Mike Paramore. He's been doing it for more than two decades down there in Perry. Nemahal Central, the Fighting Carter Hikes. I mean, do we need to start saying that? I mean, my goodness, the young man almost rushes the ball 50 times in a ball game down at Council or against Osage City. Will now face off against Council Grove in the sub-state game at home.
Yeah, and that, you know, here's the thing. We talked about maybe their toughest competition being Osage City. And if they make it past that, things might get a little easier. You never can say that. You're in a sub-state game. But here's the thing. If you look at Council Grove-Osage City matchup earlier this season,
mm-hmm.
It took a late touchdown for Osage City to get the win against Council Grove. Council Grove's got some momentum going with them as they knock off undefeated Humboldt. So
at Humboldt,
that game is going to be, I think that one's going to be a really good game. And the thing I look at with Nemahal, obviously we covered them, we know them well. You mentioned it, resilient team, battled injuries, replaced key parts in their offense, and they just keep getting the job done.
All right, that's in 2A. Down in 1A, we mentioned already Centralia. They defeated Pitt Colgan. They're hosting Rossville next week in a sub-state matchup, and we were hinting on Rossville's side earlier because they defeated Jackson Heights in the first segment of the top of the 1A bracket. Now, Centralia, this Panther team is just a team that does not falter from what they do best, and Coach Holthaus has his squad moving very much in the right direction at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, and this is going to be a physical ball game. We saw it tonight, Rossville against Jackson Heights, Rossville. They've got a lot of weapons, and they spread you out, and they run different formations and different things. And once tonight, it was the bubble screen, slip screen, tunnel screen, whatever you want to call it, outside receiver moving to the inside. They ran it 3 or 4 times with great success. They're a physical team. Centralia's a physical team. Again, heck of a matchup.
Be a good one. That one next week, definitely on our list of our games of the week. Same way with Nemahal Central hosting Council Grove, that will be one on our final list of next week. Valley Heights, they get to host, I hope that you don't take it too serious when I say that. That's a slip of the tongue. Valley Heights, they'll have to hit the road next week and take on Conway Springs, the defending state champion in 1A. The Mustangs riding high right now, Boz. They're finding their own little groove, but it's going to take everything next week to knock off Conway Springs, who is now, again, 11-0 this year and defending 1A state champs.
Yep, that's a tough task for Valley Heights, but you get to this point, you're in a sub-state game. Records don't matter. I mean, geez, you're looking at 11-0, 9-2.
Yeah.
Two very good football teams. Conway Springs, you mentioned, coming off the state title. I think Valley Heights, they're playing really good football right now. They're confident. Jaden Duwall, we've mentioned his name a ton. Fantastic player for him. I think that's going to be a good matchup. And, you know, Conway Springs, you can see the as they get farther along, maybe there's a little pressure, you know, just – you never know how kids are going to respond to that.
I said it, or I'm going to say it now about Valley Heights, and I'll say it again about Centralia. How about these fall teams, sports for these schools right now, though? Centralia, second place in state, out of the state volleyball tournament earlier, a couple weeks ago. Valley Heights, they took second as well in state out at the state volleyball tournament. So good momentum for these local schools here in their fall sports, respectively. Clifton Clyde blanks Madison tonight. They move on to the sub-state round next week as they'll be taking on Central Plains. And a Central Plains team that squeaked by Little River tonight, 38-32, and we mentioned Clifton Clyde blanking Madison tonight. So the Eagles from Clifton Clyde at A-Man Division One looking to get back to the state title themselves.
Yeah, Clifton Clyde's playing really good too. I don't think any time you get to this far through the playoffs, you can kind of say, well, Madison, they were 7-3. They squeaked through with some wins. They barely beat Brookville, El Saline, 14-12. I don't think that matters. That is a huge win, 46-0.
Yeah,
and again, I would have loved for somebody to call in. I mean, how did that happen?
Yeah,
you know what was the deal? Was it obviously they held Madison scoreless, so their defense was on point. But Clifton Clyde is they're finding ways to win late in the season, and I know Central Plains. That's a big win for them over Little River. Mm-hmm. Got a little connection with Little River. A gentleman by the name of Kevin Ayers. I went to college with him. He coached out
about 50 years ago.
Shut your mouth. What are you talking about? It was a while ago, but he's had success. Yeah, he was at Jetmore for a long time, won some state titles there, went to Sharon Springs, did a really good job there. And so that's a big win for Central Plains to knock off Little River. It's tough. Going to be a tough game for him, but Clifton Clyde playing good right now.
All right, an 8-man Division Two. It's a battle of the TVL. It's a battle of foes that know each other very well, Boz, and it's a rematch from a season ago. Axtell hosting Frankfurt in the 8-man Division Two sub-state round.
I love it. I love it. I love when these teams get together. It's going to be, I say this respectfully, it's going to be a good game. I think in a sub-state matchup, everything's on the line. Is there any pressure on Axtell to make it back to the title, continue the streak? All those things we've talked about this season, I don't know that it's going to play in there. But Frankfurt, here's the thing. They've got another opportunity to knock off Axtell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big, I think, for them. If you want to be the best,
you got to beat the best.
You got to beat the best. And right now, Axtell hands down the best. So that's going to be a very, very interesting ballgame.
That's an 8-man Division II for that one. And so Twin Valley League, they are executing at a high level and representing very well right now in the postseason as a lot still alive. We got our Luker Chiropractic and Wellness Game Ball list here in front of us, Boz, and I'm going to need a selection from you in just a little bit as we will be wrapping this show up here in a few moments. Got to get to our collegiate looking here because we've got big-time games tomorrow when it looks at the likes of the Heart of America Conference, my friend.
Yeah, there's a whole lot going on right now. Number 9, Benedictine. They are sitting this is where it gets really hard to kind of play it all out, but they're on the bubble, quite honestly, because they lost to Mid-America. There's a three-way tie within the conference. Who's going to make it to playoffs? Benedictine is on the road at William Woods, who is 1-9.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Benedictine, you're looking at the point system and how they could potentially be into the playoffs. I think they're going to make it, but got to take care of business. Last thing in the world you would want is to travel to William Woods, stub your toe, lose a game, and then your hopes of the playoffs is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's over. So Benedictine, if they take care of business tomorrow, I really think they are in the playoffs.
But you referenced Baker right there, my friend.
Yes.
Because Baker has a big-time game themselves this week, and that's the question, that's the comments, that's the understanding of why is this such a big deal for BC? How could you say that they're on the bubble? Well, because at the end of the year, if there are ties, they go to that ranking system. That's where BC got left out last year in this.
Yeah, and you start looking at all this, and there's a rating system that they use within the conference. ARC ratings came out yesterday because Benedictine beat Morningside earlier in the year.
Yeah.
They'll likely remain ranked above Baker and Mid-America if everybody wins out. So that means Benedictine would be the conference champ bid, even though it's a three-way tie. Baker would likely get in as an at-large bid. Mid-America would be kind of on the bubble of getting in. So really it boils down to Benedictine, they win tomorrow, they're in. That's my take.
Okay. And then for the other mentions of what we just referenced with Baker and Mid-America, 12-13 respectively.
Yeah, they're right there.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so Baker got that head-to-head win over Mid-America. That is what I would guess is the sole reason why they are able to hold that one spot above. What happened last year was BC losing to Mid-America, dropped them in the polls, and they ended up being the third team in that list. If list stays true as it stands right now, Mid-America would be left out of the postseason. So that's what we're looking at when we're looking at NAIA right now, because, my goodness, it seems like it comes down to that every single year. How about in JUCO level, Highland? Well, great season for the first 5 weeks, 6 weeks of the year for sure.
Yeah.
And then Highland got to the juggernauts as part of their schedule.
Yeah, they did. They started out hot, like you said, but my goodness, when you're playing the number one team in the nation, the number two team, the number five team, they had a stretch there where they hit all of those ranked opponents. They lost to Hutch last week, 44-0. They now get the pleasure of taking on the number one team in the country, Iowa Western, who's 9-1. Their only loss coming to Hutch earlier this season. So Highland has had a good season, but boy, it's tough when you get that part of your schedule.
All right, moving up one more notch, I guess you could say, in the collegiate level. KU, big-time win last week.
Let's go.
Rock chalk.
My goodness. Hey, I got to give you the props. You called it.
I did.
It was because your good, positive mojo. KU showed up.
Hey.
Here's the thing. I've been critical of my Hawks because we just could not maintain a lead and get a win and the losing streak. And it was a tough 4 or 5 weeks there. But the way they played against Iowa State is kind of how we thought this season would go early.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't. But I'm proud of the team. They're playing some good football right now. Jalen Daniels looks like kind of what I thought he'd look like. He didn't not turning the ball over. He's throwing the ball well. He's hitting receivers. I was excited. That was a fun game.
What did I predict the win by?
Two scores.
10 points.
10 points is what it was?
Yeah. And?
You're pretty close.
Okay.
It was 9.
Okay.
So, and we were texting back and forth in the game.
Yeah.
I think the fourth quarter, I said, if we're not up 30, this is going to be a problem. And Iowa State cut the lead down, but then the pick six late.
Huge.
And, that kind of sealed it for them. But KU's playing some good football right now, and I'm excited. They got a huge, huge task. They are playing against BYU.
Provo after dark.
Provo after dark. Now, here's the thing with BYU. They almost dropped a game last week to Utah.
Yeah.
Controversial.
Very much so.
Ending to that deal. I think BYU, they're a very, very good football team, ranked number 6 right now. But they kind of escaped last week. I think it might be a good time for KU. Catch them when they're not playing great. maybe question some things because they almost lost. We'll see what happens.
I'll tell you right now that I've had a lot of KU friends of mine come up and say, you're a big KU fan this week too, right?
Yeah, absolutely,
said,
you are.
I said, well, I don't know if I would say huge KU fan this week.
Oh, come on.
I'm more of a KU fan next week when they play Colorado at home.
That's the other team.
Because that's the
beat.
One that K-State fans need to root for KU on and not Colorado off. But K-State, speaking of the Cats, they're coming off a bye.
Yep.
And they're taking on an Arizona State team tomorrow that's 7-2, 4-2 in conference play. This is a huge game that the Cats have got to win if they want to keep their Big 12 championship hopes alive as well as the college football playoff.
Yeah, and Arizona State's a good football team. I think the state, the way they're playing, I mean, I feel like they get better and better. You know, you talk Avery Johnson, the quarterback, what he's able to do. I think he's matured a lot. He's still doing some really good things. And the run game, DJ Giddens, is just ridiculous.
They're a team that, again, has to win tomorrow to keep those postseason hopes alive in the way that Cat fans want them to. They're already bowl eligible. They're going to a bowl no matter what. But if they want a chance at the Big 12 title game and the college football playoff, they must win. Tomorrow that game will be on 103.9 KNZA as well as 92.1 FM KMZA. K-State favorite of that game, Boz, by 8.5. Here's one that I'm curious about. BYU favored by just 2.5 at home.
I don't get it. I saw that earlier and I thought, what is going on right there? I don't see it. I think it will be a close game, but I don't know.
Okay, and then we've got to go to the Big Ten, Boz, because Nebraska stubbed their toe against UCLA.
They did.
That was a chance to get to 6 wins and break the streak of no bowl game since 2016. Now they're at USC tomorrow at 3:00 on KTNC.
Hey, we talk about it every week. I'm not a Husker fan, but I just want it to happen. I just want it to happen. Can they punch their ticket this week? USC, here's the thing. They're at USC.
Yeah.
A typical team that you would think, I mean, they're having a down season. USC is 4-5. They've lost 4 out of their last 5 games. They lost to Minnesota. They played Penn State really well. They lost by 3 in overtime. They got beat by Maryland. They get a win against Rutgers. And then they lose to Washington. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are up and down right now. So I think if you're going to get it, now's the time to beat USC at their place. Can they get it done? I just want them to do it. Because then if they don't, they're at home against Wisconsin. And then they're on the road against Iowa.
Oof.
I just get the win. Get it done right now.
All right, GBR, go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
All right, professional level, and we'll wrap this up. Chiefs, last week at home against the team you despise the most, take care of business against the Broncos on a blocked field goal attempt as time expired.
I could not believe that. At the end of the game, I thought, this is ridiculous. They marched down the field. I'll tell you this, Bo Nix, I'm impressed. I think the Broncos are a team to watch out for in the future with him at quarterback. But
yeah.
He marched them down the field, got them into the field goal range, chip shot, really, at the professional level. Was it 30, 35 yards or something?
Yeah.
And we block it.
Leo Chanel.
I could not believe it. They blocked the field goal. Here's the thing. I really feel like this, and I've said it throughout this season. I feel like the Chiefs are escaping with wins. And we've talked about it. It's hard to win in the NFL, period.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you can keep getting by just by the – you just can't – it's so close. You're not going to be able to win like that all the time.
Well, they hit the road against Buffalo tomorrow at 3:25.
That's a big game.
Or I said tomorrow, Sunday. And that game will be on 92.1 KMZA as well as Sunny 101.3 with pregame beginning at 2:00 at the Bills. The Chiefs win that game. They have a 4-game lead against both the Ravens and the Bills for the one seed. They could almost lock up the one seed by, I believe it was week 13, which would be insanity.
Yeah.
If they lose that game, though, Buffalo just 1 game back with that head-to-head tiebreaker over
right.
The Chiefs. Big-time game for the Chiefs on Sunday. And then the Ravens to Pittsburgh. Big-time AFC North battle. Ravens 7-3, Steelers 7-2. Winner of that game takes control of the North. I am nervous, and I'll be shaking on Sunday as much as I am right now in this cold weather that we're standing in because that's a big-time matchup, my friend.
That's a huge matchup. And, you know, we talked about the Chiefs, when they might stumble, and I said at the Steelers. Steelers are playing good right now. Russell Wilson?
No.
Come on. He He's won three games
Moonball.
As a starter now. Did he not get a game drive there to beat the Commanders last week? I mean, he's running the Steelers offense and doing well. They look good.
They look all right.
They look good.
They look all right. They're also the biggest rival for the Ravens. And so I don't have a whole lot of positive things to say on the other side of that.
I know you would.
Flock, just get on the road, get a win in the Steel City, and move to 8-3 and take control of the North. All right, final order of business for us, Boz, and we're going to get out of here, and we're going to let Captain Kirk Kilman back in the studio, Ray Penning, whoever is still up there, let them get home as well. Our Luca Chiropractic and Wellness Game Ball winner.
All right, nominees for tonight from Nemaha Central, Carter Hike. He had 46 carries, 274 yards with four touchdowns, also 6 of 9 passing for 70 yards. From Centralia, Jacob Flenty, 256 rushing yards tonight on 27 carries for four touchdowns. Also from Centralia, Quentin Aldifer, 136 rushing yards with two touchdowns on 13 carries, those rushes were. And then from Axel, the whole team, 50 in a row, win streak. Is now an 8-man state record. Fantastic kid, so I love that shout-out.
Third longest streak in the nation, 8 and 11-man. Longest 8-man winning streak currently in the nation as well.
Unbelievable what these guys are doing from Axtell. I'm going to turn this job over to somebody else because I absolutely hate it. There's so many good performances every night. Tonight, I'm going with the duo from Centralia. Jacob Flenty, 256 rushing yards on 27 carries with four touchdowns. And Quentin Aldifer, 136 rushes on 13 carries, or rushing yards on 13 carries with two touchdowns.
That's a combined 400 yards on the ground and six touchdowns for Centralia. They get a big road win tonight against Pitt Colgan to move on to the sub-state round next week. All right, once again, matchups for next week. Rossville at Centralia will be the sub-state round in 1A. Conway Springs hosting Valley Heights. Clifton Clyde at Central Plains. Axtell hosting Frankfort in 8-man division number 2. And Nemaha Central, they will be hosting Council Grove next week for sub-state. MSCSports.net, keep it locked there. Thanks for listening to the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show with Jake and Bob. Have a great weekend.
The Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Helena Agri Enterprises, JVN Telephone Company, by McDonald's in Hiawatha and Seneca, Luna Information Company,
see ya.
New Valley Technology, by Honeyman Ford, Sunflower Community Credit Union, by Commercial Tire Solutions, by Giant Communications, MCON, by the Denison State Bank, BNP Propane, by American Family Insurance, Brad Noller Agent, by Lukert Chiropractic, and by The Elevator in Valley Falls. The Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show is an exclusive production of the MSC Sports Radio Network.